Good morning. All right. Yes, good morning. For those of you who don't know me and are new here, my name is Randy. I'm one of the elders here. You are welcome. We are glad to have you join us this morning to worship Jesus and be reminded that he really did rise from the grave and he is alive and he's at work, making himself known to his people and through his people so that others would get to know his love. And so I'm excited to gather with you this morning to have more of his love fill us up. Overflowing, not just a little bit, not just kind of, not just from a distance, but it within and overflowing. That is what God's intention and purpose is for having you come this morning. If that's not yours, I'm just cluing you into what he's up to doing in this room with us. And so I want to invite you to join me in receiving that because he is gracious and kind to giving us that. For those of you who are also who are new here, I also want to let you guys know we've been going through this new series called the Beloved Series. We've been covering that for about the last few weeks. And then just recently, one of the hopes we've had in going through the series is to try to help everybody get connected to some others in groups to work through some of this context so there could be some deepening of relationships so that, because our hope is to not merely just communicate some concepts for it to hit and touch our souls and to work out in our daily lives. And God intended for that to work out in deep relationships with other people, especially brothers and sisters in Christ. And so if you are new here and you're like, man, I want to get connected to that, or if you're here and even if you're not new here and you want to get connected to that and get connected to a group, go ahead and go to the connect table and let them know that. Is that right, Tim? Tim is not here, is he? It's the connect table. Try the connect table. Let them know. Right, Dave? Dave's here. He's also part of connect. Go to the connect table. Let them know. We can get you in one of those groups. So let them know. And don't forget, there's an 8-week study guide if you didn't grab it last week. Or if you already lost yours, you can go to the connect table and grab one as well, too. So please do that. I think that's all the announcements I have. I'm going to pray. We're going to get into our teaching for today. Jesus, we love you and we are thankful that you're here with us. And that makes this moment very special and important. That makes this moment filled with all kinds of anticipation because you are the God of the impossible and you're the God of miracles. And we want to believe that you want to still do miracles today. You are alive, you are at work, we are needy and broken. Sometimes our lack of awareness of our neediness and brokenness gets us, it leads us to miss you. And so I pray a prayer that makes us feel uncomfortable right now, even myself, that you would help us be weak and vulnerable. And during this time, as we continue to move on, worshiping you and fixing our eyes on you, would you help us be weak and vulnerable? Would you expose the places in our lives that we feel so powerless and limited that we see it as a place you can't be with us in, and your love isn't strong enough to hold us in. I pray that you would reveal and expose those places in our lives. We all have them. Holy Spirit, come and minister to us. Lift up the name of Jesus that's above every name, and it's only in his name that we can be saved, that we can find healing and rest. Jesus, be glorified, be lifted up, be poured out. In your name we pray. Amen. In the beginning of God's story and God's word, God gave Adam and Eve this wonderful garden. Adam and Eve being the first humans God made. He gave them this beautiful garden to live in. And he tells them they can eat of any tree they like in the garden, except one of them, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what's really funny that we see in Genesis 2, what's really funny about this story, or interesting, is that this tree that they're not supposed to eat is smack dab in the middle of the garden. They can see it. They daily see this limitation from God that's right in front of them. A daily reminder of what they can't have. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Why did God do that? What was God up to with putting this limitation right in front of them every day of Adam and Eve's lives? Was he trying to tempt them? Was he trying to set them up for failure to sin? Was God wanting Adam and Eve to live this joyless life, being bummed about constantly being reminded about their limitations? And I think those are like very normal questions to ask and wrestle with as we're like reading, when you read something like that, like, what is God doing? And I believe this limitation was meant to be a daily invitation to commune with God and trust in his love and care. Now we see later on in the story in Genesis 3 that Adam and Eve ended up not seeing this limitation like that. They chose to eat of the fruit from the tree they weren't supposed to. And the fall of humans, is really humans deciding to go beyond their God-given limitation. It's like when I take my oldest daughter, Georgia, to the playground, along with the rest of her siblings, and it doesn't matter how awesome the playground might be. If I tell my wild and adventurous, beautiful daughter that she needs to stay within the boundaries of the playground and cannot go past it, all of a sudden, none of the things on the playground become fun anymore. She can't help but keep looking beyond the playground. She's convinced that she's missing out. Dad must be withholding. She thinks I'm out to make her life miserable, and her life just stinks. There's nothing good about it all of a sudden. She doesn't realize that there's a lot of potential harm outside of the playground, that she doesn't have the faculties to rightly discern and make good decisions and have the ability to even protect herself if she runs into those situations. So Georgia's needing to learn to trust her daddy. And though Adam and Eve had this amazing garden God gave them and amazing trees to choose to enjoy, they saw God's limitation not as an opportunity to trust, but to distrust God and his love for them. And since the fall, this in reality is the human predicament. We don't know how to embrace our limitations as an opportunity to commune with God and his love. In fact, we tend to see limits as enemies of our dreams and expectations. And therefore, it's our proclivity to see them as barriers to our life and attempt to go way, way beyond them. Our culture tries to tell us we are limitless. How many of us have heard these statements? You can be anything you want to be. The only thing that's going to keep you from doing whatever you want to do is either you don't have enough imagination, or you're not working hard enough, or you don't have enough confidence. But you can be whatever you want to be as long as you do something about it. In other words, don't let anything limit you from following your dreams. Now, as a passionate futuristic dreamer like myself, I can really appreciate these sorts of hyperbolic statements. I can appreciate them. I get they're meant to inspire imagination and innovation and motivate people to think outside their box. And for some people outside their wounded box, like they've really been hurt in life. And I get that. But it's important we make clear these statements are not true. Parents should never tell their children that they can be whatever they want to be. These may be well-meaning, but they're also very misleading words that can do some real damage. The anxiety and anger and pressure that can build when we don't become the things we might imagine or dream ourselves to be can be absolutely overwhelming. I remember as a little kid growing up, even though I didn't grow up in the church, my mom was a part of the church, and there's sometimes people spoke some words over me, and I remember it's something like, God is really going to do something big with you, Randy. And I want to be clear here. I believe these people that said this stuff were very much believed the Spirit was telling them that and to share that with me. But it's funny how I might interpret those things as I grow up, because the world has a definition for what's big and successful that can be very counterintuitive to what God in the Bible might say is successful and big. And it's funny, throughout the years, my mom has brought that stuff up and has reminded me how amazing I'm going to be and how much God's going to use me. And she's very well-meaning by all those things, and they're very, very nice, and I appreciate her heart. But at times, she's even done that in her last visit when she was just here like a week ago and was reminding me about that. And it's funny how a slow pressure and anxiety can come over me of like, well, am I messing up? Because I'm not seeing a lot of that great big success. Like, I see pain, I see hurt, I see struggles. Like, maybe is it going to happen? Like, do I got to change something in me? Is there something wrong with me? What do I got to do? What do I got to, what needs to change? And just all this pressure and this anxiety. I don't know if you've ever had any of that. Anybody ever said something to you or said something about you and you're like, I'm not seeing that yet. Maybe some of you have imagined you'd already be ready, are already married right now and have a spouse. Some of you imagine you already have a spouse, and or maybe you're married and you thought you'd have a bunch of kids right now, and you imagine this place you'd be living in and life would be this certain kind of way, or you imagine maybe your marriage would be a lot more healthier than it is now and more enjoyable, or you imagine yourself making way more money than you do now. Maybe you don't care about being rich, but man, I just like to not worry about month-to-month paychecks. Or that you'd be more successful in your life. Or maybe you imagine yourself having way more friends. Just a stronger relational network where people know you deeply and like you a lot. Maybe you thought you'd have way more of that than you currently do now. And I holding too tightly to dreams and expectations can be huge letdowns and become so disorienting. I mean, it's no wonder we can't stand our limitations sometimes. Or why we might find ourselves in this endless pursuit of finding and looking for other options, but always finding ourselves let down. This gets amplified when we compare ourselves to others. It's so easy to look at each other and think, man, it's just not fair. So-and-so has this, or they have it better than I do. Why can't I have that also? I wish I was as attractive as her or him. I wish I had made that kind of money like they do, or have that kind of house my friend has, or I wish I had her body, or man, I wish I had his or her health. I wish I had that kind of confidence like he has. Or I wish I was as outgoing as she is. Or man, I wish I could parent like that person. Oh man, how does that person have the capacity? How do they parent? They serve their neighbors. They love people. They're leading. How do they do all that stuff? I'm drowning. Look at them. I wish I had that capacity. For me, I remember throughout high school being so skinny and short. I was like a tooth. I mean, it's so skinny. And comparatively speaking to my peers, very, very short in height. I hit this crazy growth spurt in college. It shocked everybody when I came back home. But I remember just desiring so badly to be big, like my peers, and just wanted to gain weight and to be tall. And you know, it's kind of funny, but, and I laugh at myself a lot now when I think about it, but it's like, man, that was a real struggle for me. I remember, like, I didn't like my body. I didn't like myself. I didn't like the fact I couldn't change that. I tried all kinds of things, slept on the floor, did tippy-toe. I mean, there's all kinds of, because I heard, like, sleeping on the hard floor, like, would make you go taller. It didn't work. Didn't work for me, so don't try it if that's you. I tried all kinds of crazy stuff. Protein powder didn't work. It's just these limitations, right? And I also remember I was poor. Relatively speaking, I was pretty poor. I remember going to a friend's house and seeing food in their cupboards and being like, whoa, you got food in your cupboards? That's amazing. That's amazing. And I remember growing up, though, hating the limitation of money. You can't buy whatever you want to buy. Like, that was really hard for me. There's limits. You don't have all the money you want. No one does. I always wanted to be, I remember in the military, and here's the deal, like, even if you did have all the money you want, you still don't have all the money you ever want. I remember being in the military, all I wanted to do is be better than anybody. I'm not kidding. If you know my personality, there's a struggle there. I want to be better than everybody that's around me. And I pushed and I pushed and I pushed, and I was very successful. And it was never enough. It was never enough. I remember walking out of a meeting where my superiors were praising me. And I walked out more depressed, saying, I gotta do more. It's not enough. I literally ran my body to the ground, where I put myself laid up in the hospital for 6 months, trying to get beyond my limits. It wasn't enough. Most of my life, I've seen limitations as my enemy. It's barriers to my dreams. And I can never find the better option that gave me what I was looking for. I don't know if you feel that this morning, maybe. Have you ever felt that in your life where it's just not enough? You never feel like you're enough. You're always trying to get to that next thing. And you ever just feel exhausted that you're just pretending, trying to be someone you're not? I'll be honest too, even as a pastor, God's done a lot of healing in that area of my life, but man, even as a pastor, I can still struggle with that. Listen to other people's preachings, and I'm like, man, how do they say it like that? I wish I could preach that way. Or look at these other churches and be like, how is their church so big and it looks so healthy? It looks so awesome. What's wrong with me? Is there something I'm missing? Man, like, yeah, I mean, it's easy just to compare and just be like, man, what is wrong with me? And it gets even further amplified with social media, right? Just click and scroll and look at our computers and all, man, geez, the comparison just gets overwhelming. And we put so much pressure on ourselves because we try to be someone we're not. And it can lead us to feel exhausted, alone, and feeling so unloved and unseen. We end up becoming so consumed, really, with ourselves, which leads us to do a lot of hating of ourselves. And here's why. We're trying to be someone God never told us to be. We keep trying to live beyond our limits because we think there's a better option we can get at right now. And as God's beloved, as we're going through this beloved series, God wants to teach us how to embrace our limits, learning to live out of our limits because we're already his dearly beloved. We're already loved. I mean, look at Jesus' life. Jesus is the Son of God who's also became a man. That's limiting himself. That's why he spent 30 years, most of his life, living in obscurity, having a job and loving other people. And a lot of people around him had no idea that's God in flesh. God limited himself. He truly entered into our humanity. Even in his last few years, where he was more in the public eye, though he did do healings and he served many people and did some miraculous things, there were so many people he didn't heal. We don't look at that. We don't think about that. There's so many people he didn't heal. There were tons of people who actually chose to leave him even in the middle of his teachings because they didn't understand what he was saying. And he was fine with that. He was fine with people leaving. He was fine with only having 12 people to really pour into and live very intentionally with, pouring his life into. Can you imagine, like, if we assess Jesus' success with our American lens? Come on, Jesus. You could have had a lot more people. You should have just preached better. Oh, man, Jesus, if you really wanted to spread your glory, why didn't you do massive healings? Why didn't you do more miracles? You would have just rocked it. What are you thinking? Yet at the end of his life, towards the end of his life in John 17:4, despite all that was left undone, Jesus could still say confidently, I completed the work my Father had for me to do. Where does that come from? He was fine with saying no to these things and entering into this limitation and doing only what his Father told him to do and say, yep, I did all that I was told to do. Jesus saw his limitations as a way to commune with his Father in loving relationships. He said no to many options that he was tempted to jump at, and there was many thrown his way. He was free to live out of his limitations because Jesus was already affirmed by his Father as his beloved Son, in whom the Father was already well pleased with. And therefore, he was at rest, only doing what the Father told him to do. And everything else, it was okay to say no to. That's the kind of relationship Jesus goes to the cross for and dies in our behalf to bring us into. He wants us to enjoy that relationship. You see this in John the Baptist's ministry. Early on in John's gospel, John the Baptist was this very powerful, provocative voice. But then all of a sudden, right after chapter 1, immediately following, John's disciples, they start leaving him. And they start going to Jesus. And the kind of few remaining hanging back with John, they go to him and they say, hey, look, everyone is leaving you. They're all going to Jesus. And basically saying, what are you going to do about it, man? Are you freaking out? You were kind of this top dog and now you're kind of nothing. What are you going to do? And there's this amazing verse. John replies in John chapter 3, verse 27. He says this statement. He says, a person can receive only what is given to them from heaven. A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. John isn't angry. He's not bitter. He's not jealous. In fact, the verses following, you can read on your own, he's actually filled with joy. That Jesus is becoming greater and he's becoming lesser. He celebrated the fact that Jesus was more successful than he was. He was celebrating that Jesus was doing better than he was doing himself. And why? Because he realized a person cannot receive anything only from what is given to them from heaven. He cannot go beyond the bounds in which God gave him. Because it's up to God. It's up to God what God wants to do in and through John. Man, the freedom it would be to live in that kind of way, to be at rest with what God affirms us in who we are and what he has for us to do, and be at peace with that. Oh, man, the rest. I want that. God, would you stamp that on the eye, on our eyelids, that verse. That verse right there, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. What freedom. But it's so hard to trust God in this way, to celebrate other people's successes, especially when they are more successful than we are, right? How irritating it is when someone is more successful than we are, because it's so hard to embrace the reality that there will always be someone who is doing something, who is better at something than you are. That's just the reality. There's always going to be someone who's better looking than you. There's always someone who's going to be better at parenting than you. There's always someone who's going to be more confident than you. There's always someone who's, there's always a more dynamic leader out there than you are. There's others out there that have way more capacity than you. Others will be more charming. There's others that are going to be smarter. There's others that are going to be better at eating healthier or eating healthy than you are, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why Paul says we have these different gifts according to God's grace given to us. We all have God's grace and love, but there's different gifts that he gives us, different capacities and different ways it's supposed to work itself out. And that's why Jesus says something similar when he talks about a story, the parable of the talents, where he says in this story that God gives some people one talent, others two talents, and others five talents. And the word talent there is whatever stuff God's given you. It's not just abilities, whatever stuff he's given you. It's my definition. And the important point Jesus is trying to make in this story is it's not who has the most talents or the God-given stuff. That's not the thing, because that's what we get fixated on, is how much this person got versus what I got. That's not what the point of the story is. That's what our culture wants us to say. Who's the one on the stage? Who's the one who has the title? Who's the one who has the money and the position and all these things? But what the story is trying to get across, what Jesus is trying to get across, it's what you are doing with the stuff God has given you because of who you already are in him. Whatever amount you have from God, like, that's not the point. It's knowing that you're loved and discerning what amount you got and doing it for him. See, we can get so tripped up being anxious about trying to be the five-talent person or comparing ourselves to the five-talent person. Now, we don't like the five-talent person because the five-talent person can be annoying, right? They got the good looks, and everything they touch turns to gold. And we just don't like those kind of people. I'm the only one being real here. Is that what we're doing? Are you all are five-talent and I'm not? We don't like that person. We struggle with that. And to think that way, which is what we all do, whether we admit it or not, is to live in such a way where we're not bracing our limitations, embracing it in such a way where we see it as an invitation to commune with God's love. In God's kingdom, we get to celebrate our differences, even if someone is looking more successful than you, because the things you do or how well you do them compared to others does not determine your worth and value. Your ultimate value, our ultimate value and worth is based on being his beloved, very much dearly loved people of God because of the sacrifice and work of Jesus. And that's why we should be able to look at the five-talent person and say, way to go! And not be cheesy, because the way I said it just sounded kind of cheesy, but to really, in a deep kind of way, be like, yes! Because the most important thing about them is that they're beloved of God. And guess what the most important thing about you is? Being beloved of God. That's the point. That's why, as his beloved, you get to focus on who God has made you to be. How has he made you to be? You no longer have to try to be someone you're not. Isn't that freeing? God's desire is to commune with you in the unique ways he has made you and the unique story he has brought you through to use you in unique ways to build his church and expand his kingdom to love and serve others for his glory. Going outside of our limits is going outside the way God wants to deeply commune with you. You guys get what I'm saying? When we try to go beyond our limits, or we try to look obsessively for the other options, we're not accepting an invitation to commune with God and go deeply with his love. In Christ, we get to stop obsessing over the options for our lives. We get to honestly embrace who we are, where we are at, because of where God has us, where he has you. God calls us, and I want to say this too, God does call us to a big vision. He calls us to give ourselves, to spend our lives for the sake of the gospel, to do big things, miraculous things. Don't hear me not saying that. God wants to see every man, woman, and child have a daily encounter with Jesus through word and deed, and he wants to use us in this room to do that. God will do that. He will accomplish his work one day, and the church today is a part of seeing that happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen to that. He's going to do that. But the way he does that is when we can look honestly at ourselves, embrace the limitations we have, and live from a place of being loved there and see him work. And we don't like that because we want to be the hero. I want to be the hero. I don't like being broken and messy and needy. But God makes it clear. He gives grace to who? Say it louder. To who? The humble. It's a broken and contrite spirit. Limitations are a gift. We need to be humbled. We're needy. We're desperate. So to try to suppress that, move past that, go beyond that, is to go down the path of destruction and death. It's to miss communion, relationship with God. It's to enjoy what it means to be loved by him. God wants to help us embrace our limitations so we can actually have healthy space to grow in his love and to be in deep relationships with one another. Not give up on God, not give up on each other, but to actually create the healthy space to start doing those things in deep ways. Key questions I'd love for you to write down. I think are going to be important to discuss in your groups. It'll be on the, I think they're on, I was about to say on the board, on the screen. Where are there limits in your life right now you are trying to go beyond that God is calling you to embrace? And then in a positive way of saying, this is kind of the same thing, what limitations are there in your life right now God wants you to live out of and trust him with? Where are there limitations in your life right now you are trying to go beyond that God is calling you to embrace? What limitations are there in your life right now God wants you to live out of and trust him with? I want you to sit with that throughout the week. We're going to spend some time in a little moment here, but I'm going to highlight some things. I want you to sit with that throughout the week with the Spirit. Think about your life. Where are there areas that you are struggling to really embrace and own? This is a limitation that I have right now. This is where God has me. How do I own this with him and his love? And I want you to do something crazy. I want you to assume that you don't really know, because that is probably some of the hardest things we do in the area of discernment, is we think we know. We don't know. We don't know. I don't know. Okay? I'm not trying to be, oh, you don't know. We don't know. That's you want to know a safe place to be in your walk and growth with God? He's assuming you don't know. Let him show you. Process with your community. Let the community help you with that. Some ways that might help you in this discernment. I have this key question. You can write this in your notes too. I won't have it on the screen, but a key question that can help you kind of think through this. And then I'll share this other question that can help you think through this that goes with the question that's on the screen. And then I'll just give some examples. Where is there a lack of joy in your life? Where are you unable to enjoy God's love? Because, man, if we're his beloved, guys, like if he's put his thumbprint on us, not because of what we give to him, but because of Christ, and we can never lose that, we're his very loved, that's just our identity. Everything we do, God wants us to enter into joy. That brings about joy. That brings about gratitude. That brings out contentment. So a good question, where am I not enjoying God's love in my life right now? That's a good way to help think through that. Because maybe there's an area that you're struggling with, and you've struggled with maybe for years, and you never know how to experience God's love or commune with him in that area of life. You hear about all this beloved stuff, and you're like, it just bounces off. You're like, yeah, whatever. I know he loves me. You've already heard that. Well, there's guys, I do that. We probably have areas of our life we do that, but I just want to say, that's broken. That's not what God's meant to be and meant for us to be. And I just want to say this, like, when I say it's broken, it's not to belittle or tear down, because I struggle with that. But we have to be honest that we're kind of in that mode sometimes. Like, yeah, it's not really landing. Because then you get to figure out why and get down in the depths of what's going on so that the love of God can penetrate deeper. So where's your lack of joy in God's love in your life? There might be a lack of joy, just for some examples, in love with God and how maybe you view yourself. That might be a limitation that you're not able to embrace. Maybe it's limitations you don't like about your personality. I know for me, there's a lot of people out there, including my wife, it's easy to like listen to people with great patience and to be very objective, have an objective ear, and also to be very keenly sensitive and aware of people's feelings. But for some others, like myself, that can be very challenging because I'm very outspoken. That's a real limitation. And can I just be honest with you? Like, I have been very frustrated with myself at times, especially as a pastor, when I'm struggling with being patient and loving with someone. It's easy to be like just so hard on ourselves. So maybe there's something there. You don't know something. Or maybe there's something in your personality you just don't like about yourself, and that's been limiting to you. And maybe you don't really know what your personality is. I encourage you to be intentional with that, because that there's something there to embrace that is a limitation that God wants you to embrace. Maybe it's limitations maybe you don't like about your wounds in light of your story. Man, there are wounds I've received from my upbringing with my dad that still have ramifications in my life today. There's wounds I received that still causes struggle and pain today. And some of that is trusting people, being vulnerable with people because of some of the abuse I received from my dad. It can be very hard for me to be vulnerable and trusting of people, especially if this person has hurt me. That can be very debilitating for me. And I have to be aware of that limitation. Because if I just simply like oh yeah, no, God's good, he died for me, like, I'm going to move on, I'm not supposed to feel that way. That just doesn't, that's a deep wound. That's a deep struggle. And as a pastor, it causes me a lot of grief at times, because I do know what the answer is in accordance to Jesus dying for his enemies. I know the answer. But I need God to meet me in the place where I am this human who struggles with sin and brokenness so that his love can actually touch my soul. And his love of dying for his enemies pierces my heart and overflows me with everlasting love. But that doesn't happen until I'm in a community and I'm struggling to love somebody who I feel hurt by, and I'm honest about it, and I'm vulnerable about it. And that's a scary place to be. So maybe for you, there's stuff in your story, there's wounds you have that you just don't go there. But there's limitations that come with that, that God wants you to embrace. And I want to make this clear. He wants me to embrace that, not because now the answer is I got to stay away from people that hurt me. No, that's not the answer, because that's what I already have tended to do in the past because of my broken story. But now that I'm aware of my limitations, my broken story, and I can embrace it with the God who loves me everlasting, I now can learn to be transformed to love people though they might reject me. Though as a kid, I learned the opposite. Does that make sense? Is there a lack of joy? Another question you're going to ask. Is there a lack of joy and love with God and where he has you right now just in your season of life? Maybe you're a parent of little kids. I don't know anything what that's about, but I haven't experienced that in my life. But that's a limitation. Being a parent of little kids, it's a limitation. And see, some of us here are like, how dare you say that about your kids? Limitation is not a bad thing. It's embracing where we're at, with where God has us. And that's a serious limitation that I have to embrace. Sometimes I give my wife a day off to go connect with God and do things that are really refreshing and rejuvenating for her, and I'll spend the day with my kiddos. I have four little ones. Seven, 5, 3, and 2. 4 and 2. I'm on stage. Don't give me that look. I'm on stage, so I felt the pressure. And I'll be in the house. She closes his door and leaves. I'm looking at these little kids. They're running everywhere, climbing on everything, and all of a sudden, I'm suffocating. Dear God, how are we going to do this? We're 1 minute into this, and I feel like we're at the end of the day. What's going on? I have no idea what to do. And what's interesting, on the days that I feel like there's a lot of joy versus the days I feel like, oh God, help me, I don't know if I can take another hour kind of days with them, that I'm with them all day, the difference isn't on the kids' attitudes, but it's based on how much I'm embracing my limits, my limitations. And here's what I mean. It's very easy for me to be in that house and feel suffocated because all I can think about is outside of the house. All I can think about is like all the other things I need to get done. Man, I got to get this sermon done. Oh, man, I got to get these emails out. Oh, man, I'm supposed to call this other person. I don't got time for this. I got so much going on. What do you think that does for me when I'm then with them? I'm overwhelmed. It's a whole day of overwhelmingness. But man, when I'm like, this house is my house. These kids are my kids. This is my thing. This is where God has me. I'm going to give myself to it because I'm trusting the God who put me in this space and gave me this wife that's amazing and these kids, and trust that even with the stress and all this stuff, that this is where he has me. I'm going to own it. And I'm going to do it with him and his grace and trust that he's going to give me everything I need in it and just be there and let go of all those other things. Let go of all those other options. Let go of going beyond the limits. It's these kids. This place is where God has called me, and I'm going to embrace it because he's good, because he's caring, and he got me. Exactly. That's awesome. Maybe other limitations are you're sick. Maybe there's physical hurt. As we get older, there's limitations. Disabilities are limitations. How are we finding God's love in the midst of that instead of trying to get from under it? Maybe it's your emotional capacity. Some of us have very large plates for being around people. Some of us have very small plates. We can't handle a lot of that. What season of life are you in? That can be helpful in discerning this. Maybe it's a hurting marriage. Maybe you're in a very hurting marriage right now. If God's given you a spouse, I just want to say he or she is your one. You need to live out of that. There is no other possibility or option. God doesn't give you another option. There is not another spouse. So I say that because it's very easy in these marriages, right, to think about, oh, man, he is so much more caring and sweet and loving. I wish I was married to him instead of who I have right now. Oh, man, she's so much more adventurous, and she's so, oh, man, she's just so amazing in so many ways. She likes these things and that. Oh, man, I wish I was married to her instead. Like, man, that we don't even get to, that's a non-option. Who your spouse is who your spouse is. That's where you're at. That's where God has you. He wants you to embrace your spouse. That's your one. And how your spouse is doing is where you are at too. And now, I'm not saying you're in the exact same place, but you don't go beyond your spouse. You don't go ahead of your spouse. If your spouse is miserable, that should be a priority for you. In order to have a great relationship with your spouse, you need to know what are his or her limits and join in that with her. Embrace the season of life you're in by depending on God and his love for where you are and where he has you. I want to go ahead and invite Brittany to come up. I'd love for us to spend time just sitting with God where we're at and with those questions. And I do want to tell us, like, this week as you work through this in your groups, this is very important stuff for us to talk through, because it's not just a matter of your individuality, it's communal. As a people, as a group, as a church, as we all have seasons of life we're in, and that impacts us at a group level, if that makes sense. And sometimes, even in our groups, we can try to go beyond what our group can actually handle or what we as a leader can actually handle. And it burns us out. It burns us out. So that's why this is important to talk about this in the group. And another reason, I'm just going to say this too, to embrace our limitations, is we will quit worshiping one another and expecting our community to save us because we're limited. He's the limitless one. We aren't. And so we need to be having these conversations in our group. What are our limitations we need to embrace in light of where God has us? So I want to invite us right now just to take a moment. Be still with God. Process these questions with him. Ask him these specific questions. Jesus, where are there limits in my life right now I'm trying to go beyond that you are calling me to embrace? Ask him that. What limitations, God, are there in my life right now you want me to live out and trust you with? Holy Spirit, would you come right now and just let us sit quietly with you and have you speak to us? Feel free to write down what he might be telling you or he might be prompting in your heart. Holy Spirit, come and speak.